Welcome on board a daily adventure to discover true wisdom, authentic hope, a stronger faith, and profound joy. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. This is the Debbie Chavez Show.
You're the shining star, no matter who you are. Shining bright to see what you can truly be, what you can truly be.
Welcome, friends and neighbors. It is wonderful to be back together again with all of you as we journey through this life together toward hope, wisdom, and joy. And coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk to all the female listeners out there. Men can eavesdrop if they really want to. But we're going to talk to all the women about how to become really beautiful, how to become gorgeous even, inside and out. You know, both, because we really want both, don't we? And we can pretend that we don't really care about the outward appearance, but you all know you're lying about that, because we all care about the outward appearance as well, you know. That's why we spend zillions of dollars shopping, finding just the right pair of shoes and just the right color fingernail polish and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be talking about how to do this as a Christian woman in a way that, you know, that will just let our beauty shine forth, right? So that's coming up in a moment. Later on in the hour, if I carve out some time, we will get to another listener question that came to me via email. And this one about how a wife should handle a husband caught visiting a strip club. Oh boy, yeah. So we'll maybe get to that one today, if not, you know, in the next couple of days for sure. And if you're looking for some free biblical advice, Bible-based advice, then go ahead and send me an email, debbie@debbiechavez.com, and I will answer you anonymously on an upcoming show. But before we get to all of that, we start out every show by giving you hope and building your faith, and we do that through our true story displaying the power of redemption. And reveals the power of Jesus to redeem you from silence between you and God. Have you ever felt like that? Like there's just this vacuum and you're thinking, okay, everyone else seems to say they hear from God and I'm not hearing anything. I'm not hearing nothing. You know, you're just like, what's wrong with me? Well, you know, sometimes it's just because we don't pause. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we don't pause. So this happened to me just yesterday morning. I was in my prayer time with God, and I, you know, do this early in the morning, try to start off the day in prayer, right? And so I'm in prayer with God, and I'm doing my, you know, I'm bringing all sorts of requests to Him, which we're supposed to do, right? About loved ones and situations and this ministry, you know, for talk shows and just all that stuff. And I can easily consume 10, 15 minutes straight just bringing forth everything I can think of, right? You know? And it's like that little quiet voice, which I'm sure was the Holy Spirit, said, perhaps you'd like to take a breath. Perhaps you'd like to pause just a second, because maybe God would like to say, lay something on your heart. Maybe God would like to speak to you. I'm like, well, okay then. So I paused for just nigh to a second, right? I mean, just a moment. And said, Lord, is there anything that you know, it's on your mind that you want me to pray for? And immediately I heard just, you know, not an audible voice, but just like this quiet little whisper, right? Of this person's name, this guy's name that I know is, actually he's in charge of a prayer center in my city. And I was like, okay, why is this name coming to my mind? And I don't even know what to pray. And yet God just kind of laid on my mind something to pray for this gentleman. And I'm like, okay. And so I went on my merry way. Well, then later that morning, I was talking to my husband, Raul, who leads this men's ministry called Band of Brothers. And I said, hey, you know, are you speaking tonight or do you have a speaker lined up? And he said, yeah, I've got a speaker. And I said, well, who is it? And guess who it was? This guy that God laid on my mind to pray for him. And then it all clicked. It all made sense that God had directed me to pray specifically about what he was going to be speaking about last night and for protection for him and all these things. And I thought, you know, God is so awesome. He has so much to say to us, directing us, even how to pray He wants to direct us. We just have to pause and take a breath for just a second and let Him speak to us. You know, He says, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. But, you know, the key action word there is listen. My sheep listen to my voice. Good reminder for both you and me. Well, now we're going to talk to all the female listeners out there about how to let your beauty shine forth. And to help us in that discussion, someone better equipped than me, and that would be Deborah Cody. Hi there, Deborah.
Hi. How are you, Debbie?
I am doing fantastic. And how are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, I'm a 9.5 today. I'm in Tampa, and it's a beautiful day.
Okay, I'm a little jealous, but I'll get over it. Well, you're out with a new book called More Beauty, Less Beast, Transforming Your Inner Ogre.
That's correct.
Sounds like a good read to me. And you and I are both of the same, shall we say, age variety or whatever. We're both...
Sweetly ripened, that's
sweetly
what we are.
Sweetly ripened. I say well-seasoned, you say ripened, whatever.
Works for me.
Yeah, and so we've got some special beauty challenges, let's just be honest, because, you know, gravity is not our friend, you know, things like that. And we also have experience of going through different seasons of life and you know, the beauty expectations of different seasons of life. And I so appreciate your wit and your sense of humor and your transparency in your book. Let's first talk about outer beauty, because, I mean, you know, we're consumed with the whole outer beauty thing. And you actually tell us in the book that beauty is a linear process. Can you explain what you mean by a linear process there?
I will, and it actually starts with a story. And I know everybody loves stories,
yes.
But that idea came to me after I had been playing tennis one morning. I'm a tennis addict, and in fact, that's what I was doing this morning, out sweating on the court.
Wow.
And I came up to the gas station. As I was on my way home, I got out of my car. I'm standing there pumping gas, and I glance up, and I see my reflection. Excuse me. I see my reflection in a window of the car. Now, I've just sweated off all my makeup, and I'm greasy and slimy, and I have this kind of big pen aura about me, and so it's not my best, you know, my physical best. So I'm kind of looking up, and I'm surprised, because I didn't know I looked like that. I guess, you know, I don't look at myself in the mirror much. Many of us don't. We kind of avoid them, and we just check to see if we have spinach in our teeth every now and then,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess my concept of me had... altered. What it was kind of Father Time. I wasn't keeping up with him. We were marching at the beat of different drummers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that I had of me was probably from 15 years ago. And suddenly, in the blaring sunlight, all of the sags and the bags and the pores and all of the imperfections just slapped me in the face.
Yes.
And I said to myself, am I ugly?
Oh.
And, you know, I guess we all have those ugly moments,
yes,
where we just feel ugly.
Right.
And so I started flashing back all of a sudden to this incident back when I was a chubby 12-year-old.
Oh.
And I was standing on high dive. I had been watching the kids, the big kids, you know, the teenagers, jump off that high dive all afternoon at the public pool. And I wanted to do it, but I was always afraid. So I kind of talked myself into it. You can do it. You can do it. So I climbed up that long ladder, and I went out to the end, and I looked over, and I felt so exposed there with my 12-year-old body that was changing and my
yes,
bathing suit, and
yes,
just felt like the whole world was staring at me and judging me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't do it. I backed away, and as I did, I bumped into the big girl, the older girl behind me, and she just kind of looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" And I, you know, I couldn't answer. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just staring deer in headlights, and I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go back. I didn't know what to do, so I just stood there, and she kind of frowned and shook her head and said with her voice of just total contempt, you know, "You don't belong up here."
Ooh.
And she said, you're fat.
Oh, ouch.
You're chicken.
Ouch.
And you're ugly.
Oh, my goodness, the trifecta of insults.
And I didn't even know this girl. You know, why should this have bothered me so much? But it did.
Oh, yeah.
And so I jumped, just to hide the tears.
Oh.
So I'm flashing back at this all of a sudden in this gas station, and then there I am, fast forward 40 years, and I'm still dealing with the same ugliness issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it hit me. I didn't, you know, I know something now that I didn't know then. I didn't feel ugly. I actually felt beautiful after I got over the initial shock of seeing myself in the cold, hard reality. But, and that process, that linear process came to me. And it goes like on a line. On the first point is A, because of the affirmation I received from my relationship with Papa God, I feel loved.
Mm.
And then a little farther down the line, B, because I know I'm loved, I feel valued.
Mm.
And then C, a little farther down the line, because I rest in the assurance that I'm valued, I actually feel beautiful.
Mm.
Regardless of any cold, hard facts I think I see in the mirror. And, you know, that mirror,
ugh.
When I speak to groups, I have them actually repeat after me. Mirrors are stupid. Everybody say it together.
Mirrors are stupid.
You know, because they are.
Yeah,
they don't know anything. They don't do anything except they only tell us what we tell them to tell us. And that's all based on what the media tells us is acceptable or beautiful or not beautiful. And they're all trying to sell us something. So, you know, I have to keep going back to that linear process and understand that even though the mirror may tell us something that we tell it to tell us, even though we don't realize we're doing that, we have to remember that we really are beautiful because of the affirmation that we have in our Creator, who created us in His image.
Okay, so let's pause and unpack that linear process that you explained, the points A, B, and C, because I don't want to just, you know, this is a huge part of what we need to understand today. So you say, because of the affirmation I received from my close relationship with Papa God, I feel loved. And I'm wondering, there's probably some ladies out there saying, well, what affirmation? I haven't received any notes from the sky lately saying, let me tell you how I think of you and how I affirm you. And so how do you receive that affirmation from God?
Well, first of all, I think God created us women to crave beauty. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want beauty. We see it around us. He's the God of beauty, and He created us with an appreciation for beauty in our spirit.
Yeah.
We are drawn to it. We want to experience it. We want to enjoy it, to create it, to be it.
Yes.
So we devote our energies, our time, and our resources to making ourselves more beautiful physically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's not a bad thing. I know a lot of people think when they first pick up More Beauty, Less Beast, that I'm focusing on saying you shouldn't dwell on your outer appearance at all. But I don't believe that. I think God wants us to put our prettiest toenail forward.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I really think He does. He wants us to be our best.
Yes.
But we can't dwell on it. Mm-hmm. That's when it gets to be a problem, when we become obsessed with it.
It becomes an idol, in a sense.
It really does. It mm-hmm. becomes a god to us. And that's actually one of the points I make in mm-hmm. my first chapter. You know, it can become a god to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we have to beware.
So back to, again, getting that affirmation from God, because this is where it all starts, right? To feel beautiful is to receive that affirmation from God. And do you get that from reading certain scriptures, or how do you receive that?
I guess I have a very close relationship. I call Him my Papa God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love scriptures. One of the best ones for me is Proverbs 11:22. He speaks to me through that. From the Message, it says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. You know, I love that verse.
I like that translation.
I do, too. And, I feel like that pig's head sometimes. But, I want to do what He says makes mm-hmm. me beautiful. And He has numerous scriptures mm-hmm. that do tell us what His perspective of beauty is. And
yes.
I include all of them in the book there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it's what we make it, our beauty. If we think that Paris Hilton is the ultimate beauty, and that's what we strive to look like, the thin, waif-like models in the media,
yeah.
if that's what we think is beauty, then we're never, ever going to be happy or at peace
right.
with ourselves, because we are not going to look like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Chances are, I'm sure somebody out there might, you know, go girl, but I don't, and I never will.
Me
and,
either.
You know, so to find that peace that passes all understanding that He promises us, we pretty much have to give up that perspective of beauty and adopt one that is His true
yes.
perspective.
Yes, yes, which, you know, He talks about the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit
yes.
and those kinds of things. But before we move, you know, past this outer beauty type thing, though, it is important to do what we can with what we've got, right? And you actually are quite the little role model there, if I may say so, because you actually did some hard work to take off some poundage, didn't you?
Well, I did. 2008 was my Debbie do-over year, And it was getting pretty chunky in the hinder. You know, I had accumulated what I call boo baggage, which is that extra pound to 2 pounds a year for, a decade or two.
Sure.
That creeps up on you.
Yep.
And then one day you turn around and 20 to 30 rotten, stinking pounds jumps out from behind you and yells, boo.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I had some boo baggage I was toting around, and so I set out to lose 20, and I ended up losing 40 pounds.
Wow.
Which was a real blessing. And
wow.
I also got some invisible braces because I had to harness a unicorn tooth there in the front. I had gotten so self-conscious of it that it had become really my focal point, which you can't let, when there's something about you, there's something about all of us that we're not happy with, but when something about you that is fixable becomes your focal point and takes your mind off of the real important things, then you need to do something about it.
And
that's what that darn tooth had done to me. You know, the Christmas before that, I was talking to my husband, and he kept kind of pointing to his lip, and I'm like, what is he doing? And I realized that my tooth was sticking through my closed lips.
Oh, my goodness.
So
it's time to address that. Time to address that. So, but back to the weight thing, because this is such a nemesis for so many women, you know, that so many women are obese or at least overweight and find it seemingly impossible to take the weight off and keep it off. So what things have worked for you to actually take the weight off and keep it off?
Well, I cover that in my chapter called Wasting Away, WAISTING, and Bermuda Shorts Triangle. And flab is drab. Actually, there's quite a few things that I'm still doing. I went on Weight Watchers. Their principles work best for me because I can actually I can stick to them.
Yeah.
And I can eat, and I can do most of the things that I was doing anyway, except I have to watch because I'm a choco athlete. I'm not just an addict. I'm an athlete. And so I have to be careful about eating my three squares instead of three bars a day.
Mm.
But I've eaten chocolate every day since 2008.
Nice.
Except for that first 3 to 4 months when I had to abstain from it completely to kind of break my habits.
Mm.
I've eaten chocolate every single day. But I also got, what really helped me was if you have some teeth that are a little bit crooked, you know, think about Invisalign braces. They were great for me because they act as a hindrance to snacking.
Oh.
They prohibit your snacking because they're plates, and you can't eat. We can't chew with them in.
Oh.
So you have to take them out for meals and put them right back in, so there's no snacking. And when I set out to get the braces, everyone told me, you're going to lose 10 pounds. Everybody loses 10 pounds when they get them because of that snacking thing. And I said, 10's not enough. So that's when I went on Weight Watchers at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had been a very active person. I play tennis 2 to 3 times a week, and so I was getting the exercise all along.
Right.
And I think those three things are very important. Portion control is extremely important. I have a whole list of tips that are really, really good in the book that will definitely help people who are conscious and trying to lose weight. One of the big things for me is when you eat out, take half of the food on your plate immediately and put it in your doggy bag before you even start.
Yes, that is a good idea because they serve such huge portions. Most of the time, that's way over what we should be eating.
Oh, so true. And,
yeah.
and you can, you know, you finish your plate, you have satisfaction. And you can find satisfaction in a couple of bites of dessert. You don't have to eat the whole thing, so share it.
Well, there you go. Hey, when we come back from the break, let's talk about a couple more things related to outer beauty. Like, what do you do when you are growing older and you're trying to mature gracefully? How do you do that? And just managing, you know, body image and just our image that we have of ourselves. You have some kind of funny stories to tell in that arena. So we'll get to that in just a moment with Deborah Cody. Her book is called More Beauty, Less Beast.
Miss out on a recent show? Get free access to Debbie's recent shows at faithplace.org and on iTunes. You can listen right on your computer or BlackBerry, or download to your iPod or MP3 player.
You could be driving a Honda. You could be driving a Honda. Oh, yes, you could. A Northwest.
My name's Mark Warren. I recently, over the last few months, bought a new car from Honda. And what struck me was the care and the customer service once I targeted a particular car at Northwest Honda. I'm rather picky on my search. And a gentleman by the name of Dave Webster, who I was referred to, connected with me to pursue what what I was looking for in a car. And I have to say my experience was unexpected and way over the top. In fact, I was a little bit concerned about even mileage on this. It was a used car, pre-owned car, and they put in a new engine. So from my experience, terrific car, knowledgeable people, fantastic deals. I couldn't be more pleased. Northwest Honda.
Patrick Geraci of Trinity Counseling in Bellingham is a licensed therapist who has been uniquely trained to help individuals, couples, and families work through various issues in life. My name is Pamela. My husband and I see Patrick for biblical marriage counseling on a regular basis. We've been inspired and challenged by Patrick's insights and encouragements. As a result, we have a stronger marriage, a deeper relationship with the Lord, and a greater appreciation for each other. Patrick Geraci of Trinity Counseling in Bellingham may be able to help you too. Patrick focuses on assisting people to better understand the goodness and grace of God in their lives in order to alleviate the effects of being stuck in fear, guilt, or bitterness. Patrick has special certifications in several areas, including addictive behaviors. For more information, go online to trinitycounselor.com. That's trinitycounselor.com.
Imagine what would happen if you went on vacation without packing bags or making reservations. Now imagine what would happen if you didn't prepare for retirement. At Edward Jones, they believe everyone can be prepared for retirement. That's why they strongly encourage you to open and contribute to an Edward Jones IRA before the April 17th tax deadline. If you have an IRA elsewhere, it's easy to transfer to Edward Jones and begin receiving the face-to-face advice you deserve. To open an Edward Jones IRA before the April 17th deadline, contact Linda Ryan, your Northwest Washington financial advisor in LeConnor on Morris Street, or call 888-466-2933. You can also easily access Linda by clicking on the Edward Jones logo on the sponsor page at faithplace.org. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Program with my guest Deborah Cody. Her book More Beauty, Less Beast, and we're talking about outer beauty for just a second. And any tips on maturing gracefully? Because you know, I'm a 52. I don't know exactly how old you are, but I know you're past 50 as well. And you know, there are things going on that are not making me ecstatic. Let's say. So, how do you mature gracefully?
Well, I kind of view it as maturing gratefully.
Oh.
And I try to focus on making the most of what I have left instead of thinking about what I've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those start to add up at our age. I'm in my mid-50s, too. And, you know, maturity really should be our most productive season of life. And we have to just decide that we are going to refuse to die before our actual death. You know, when I was just hitting the menopause nasty business, I was praying for, you know, God, I've got so much to do, so many books. I was still working full-time and mm-hmm. trying to write my books. And I said, Lord, please send me more hours in the day to get everything done. And so he sent me menopause. And now I have all the stinking night time, too.
Isn't that true?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many things that are changing, and it's very difficult. Menopause is not for wimps. You know, it is definitely not.
That's true.
And I think we need to try to find women that we can associate with and communicate with, and, you know, we can commiserate with, mm-hmm. and I have several really good. We have in our neighborhood, we started a Bible study on Fridays where about 12 of us who are roughly in the same 10-year or 15-year age bracket meet, and it is awesome. And we all understand. We understand what we're going through together.
Mm-hmm. But I like your idea of, instead of looking at what you've lost, looking at what you have available. You probably have more time. You're not raising little kids anymore, hopefully. Or, you know, there are things that you can do that maybe you couldn't do before. So instead of looking at, you know, the glass is half empty, how about the glass is half full?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or there's half the calories. That's the way to look at that glass.
Mm. Let's talk about image, though. And actually, you tell a really hysterical story. You have tons of hysterical stories in the book, but one of them it was that, you know, because you know, we're all trying to manage our image, right, look our best, especially if we're out in public and you do speaking, and you say one afternoon your daughter dropped by just as you arrived home from a speaking event, and her eyes popped out of her head as she looked at you. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, Yes, that was between the time I started losing weight and before the fashion police, I call them, came to my, quote, rescue. My daughter and my sister, who's very trendy, and I've never been accused of being cool, they decided to redress me and make my wardrobe work for my age, because I tended to look like a 78-year-old woman. You know you're in trouble when you look at your mother-in-law's outfit and you go, ooh, I like that. So I was really not doing well in that. But I had started to lose weight, and I hadn't yet had the fashion police take me shopping. So I, you know, the logical thing was to just gather up the whole back of my pants up into a diaper pin, and I thought, you know, no problem, I'll wear a little sweater over it. Well, I kind of didn't look in the mirror before I left the house, and the whole thing was coming to 2 points over my hinder, like Madonna's bras from the 80s, and it was, I didn't really realize it till I got home, and my daughter pointed it out to me very rudely, but you know, she is my fashion consciousness. So.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I thought I was getting away from her when she grew up and got married, and then she bought the house next door.
Oh.
So I still, now I get to watch my baby grand. He's 10 months old now, little Blaine.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
So image, I mean, we all wrestle with image. Any thoughts, any tips there on how to deal with that?
Well, I think we just try to need to make the most of our image, and we have to be aware. I have a chapter of it called Show Dog, I think is the name of it, and it's about putting on airs, and so much of us, I know, that show dog can have fleas, and he keeps, you know, I decided that this was probably what many of us deal with when my neighbor has a show dog that appears in dog shows, and he's just beautiful, fluffy. Oh, you just can't beat him. He holds his head up. He's so cute. And then you see him at home, and he's like a mutt, and he's scratching his fleas, and you're like, oh, he shows one side of himself in public and another side at home. And I think that's something that we need to be very aware of, that if we are indeed followers of Christ and we are Christians in the public arena, we need to be Christians in the private arena too. And I think that's just one of the things about image we need to just be aware of.
Yeah, and you also talk about labels, secret labels that we kind of keep tucked inside. What are you trying to get us to understand when you talk about the secret labels?
Well, I think we can justify things to ourselves by these labels. My particular one that I pulled it out yesterday. I keep it hidden inside my shirt. Don't let anybody see it, except, of course, the one person sees it, and he doesn't agree with any of the labels because he doesn't believe in labels. But I pull out my dumb label, and, you know, I got a new phone, and I just can't figure this thing out. My husband finally said, do you want me to just take it back? So he's taking it back as we speak.
Oh, my.
But, yeah, it was over my head, and I'm not a techie person. But I pull out that dumb label when it's convenient for me. And we have to be careful with labels because they tear us down if we're not careful. We can rely on labels to be our identity.
Yes.
If we're not sure who we are, or if we don't like who we really are, we can hide behind those labels. And, you know, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of money, and we get a lot of hand-me-downs from friends, and I remember cutting this Tommy label off a pair of worn-out jeans and sewing them onto my Kmart jeans. And then I kept hopping that label from pants to pants to pants for many years.
Oh, my.
Because labels are so important to us as women, and for whatever reason, they are. And we just have to remember that God gives us his designer label, that, you know, we're unique. But we forget that, and we want to blend in, and we just kind of sometimes fall back on these labels that we get them from childhood.
Right.
Sometimes they're just plastered to our back by, you know, friends or family, and they're not fair sometimes, and we end up wearing them for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and sometimes we adopt these labels like, I am a professional, and so we dress in a certain way because we're trying to portray this certain thing, which isn't necessarily bad, but it can become an identity and almost a facade that we're hiding behind, trying to get some validation or something from other people, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And we have to remember that God doesn't even see all these stickers, these labels that we plaster over ourselves, because when we invite Jesus into our hearts and ask him to fill us with his love, all God sees when he looks in the mirror of ourselves is that sweet, gentle reflection of his son, because we have asked him to be there and to reflect in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. When we come back from the break, we've been blending a little bit between outer beauty and inner beauty, but I want to really focus on inner beauty for a moment, because frankly, I do know, and I'm sure you do too, so many women that come to my mind who are not classically pretty or beautiful, but they are kind of radiant, and you find them to be very attractive, but it's the inner beauty. It's something about their personality, the way they carry themselves, their peaceful spirit, whatever you want to call it. So let's talk about inner beauty in just a moment with Deborah Cody. Her book is called More Beauty, Less Beast.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain, and she's committed to tapping into biblical wisdom to find redemption from all of life's challenges. The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. And now you can get Hempler's great-tasting meats delivered directly to your home by ordering from Amazon.com. Just type in Hempler at Amazon.com and choose from over 15 delicious Hempler's products.
When a loved one passes away, you want to keep their memory alive forever. Cascade Monuments can help you do that in a beautiful and yet economical way. They offer a variety of stone and bronze memorials at prices much lower than most funeral homes. Visit their website, cascademonuments.net, and you'll find the perfect monument for your loved one. Everything from upright granite markers to bronze bench markers. And Cascade Monuments will ship anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Let Cascade Monuments help you find a fitting tribute for your precious loved one. Visit them online at cascademonuments.net.
Join me on the next Carolyn Merriman Show, where I will help you understand why it's okay to be weak as a Christian. Stay tuned 10 minutes after the Debbie Chavez Show on faithplace.org.
You can't run when you're holding suitcases. It's a new day. Throw away your mistakes.
On the program with my guest Deborah Cody, her book More Beauty, Less Beast, and we're talking about inner beauty now. And you say, you know, this is what really matters to God, and we all know that to some extent. But how do we cultivate this inner beauty so that we can tame the inner ogre? Where do we start?
Well, I don't know about you or your listeners, but for me, one of the biggest struggles I've always had is with self-control, that prune in the fruit basket of the Spirit. Mm. It's the one that we don't really savor, the fruit that we just don't necessarily like to deal with, but it tends to make things run smoothly.
Yes.
And if you ever had prune juice, you know what I mean. You know, that one has been a struggle for me, and I'll tell you a little story that I've developed a tool, and I have to do very short, brisk, sweet. They're not always sweet. They're kind of crude sometimes, but little tools that will help me remember that I'm supposed to act like I have Holy Spirit in my heart, and that the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of that.
Yes.
And the one I came up with is barf. It's barf. When we're angry enough to barf, we should just do it. And barf stands for back off, admit, redirect, and forgive.
Barf.
It's an acronym. And I'll tell you just a quick story of how that plays out. I was invited to speak to a writer's group about 150 miles away from where I live. So I accepted, and I drove all afternoon to get there, 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And when I got to this building, it was pouring down rain, and there was no place to park, so I had to park almost a half a mile away.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was terrible. So by the time I got all my crates of materials, I was doing a PowerPoint presentation, mm-hmm. and I had my laptop and my projector and a crate of all kinds of equipment and boxes of books, and I dropped $80 worth of books and mud puddles on the way in.
Oh, my, my, my.
And so I was fit to be tied. I was a soaking, dripping mess when I finally made my way into this room.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in, and there's about 8 or 10 people in little groups around the periphery of this room, and no one turns to look at me at all, acknowledges that I'm there. And they haven't got anything set up, no table, no screen, no nothing. And I'm thinking, am I in the right place? And I, you know, I'm thinking, this is so not worth the $35 they're paying me. And, I was just starting to seethe. And finally, the director of the group came over. She peeled herself away from the little group she was talking to and said, "Oh, Deborah, I'm so glad you made it." And she said, "Just wanted to tell you that I was not able to get any of the equipment that you asked for. That was 3 weeks earlier.
Oh, my.
And I was so busy, I just haven't been able to advertise about this workshop, so we're probably going to have a very low turnout."
Great.
And, yeah. So then she turns around and gets back into her conversation with these gals and just leaves me standing there.
Oh, my.
So I can feel my inner ogre.
Yeah.
Starting to claw its way up my esophagus. It is ready to spew forth venom and rip and tear and maim. It's ready. It's all ready. And so it's all I can do to keep my mouth shut. And I thought, okay, time to barf. I'm angry. So I walked over to the window, and I stared out at the rain, of course, not really seeing it.
Yes.
And I start praying. I start the back off. I backed away from it to remove yourself from the source of anger. And, you know, actually you get a new perspective if you can withdraw a little bit.
Yes.
Take a deep breath and ask the spirit to calm you down and take you over. So then admit, B-A, admit why you're upset. So I said, "Lord, I am absolutely furious right now. I feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. I feel stomped on. I am so angry. I'm just a mad as a wet hen." And then I thought, I wish I was a wet hen because I want to peck her eyeballs out right now. And, you know, you have to admit it and lift it up to the Lord, because identifying what you're feeling is the first step in dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then R stands for redirect.
Mm.
Redirect your emotions. You have to remember who is really responsible for eliciting this tempest within you. It's not the person who's standing there in front of you who offended you. It's the one you don't see, the evil chuckling one with that proverbial pitchfork. I can't say that word. Pitchfork stuck in your back.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to remember that he's the mastermind of your anger right here.
Yeah.
And so I do a little physical symbol just as a symbolic thing to myself to remember who is the one that I'm redirecting my anger toward. And I just kind of tap my fists on top of each other, tap, 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 quietly. You don't make a big show of it. You just do it. You know, you can do whatever works for you. Some people point to the floor. Some people, you know, close their eyes, shake their heads, whatever. A small gesture that reminds you that you are taking your anger off that person and you are sending it toward the devil.
Yes.
And you're letting Jesus deal with him because he can't win.
Mm-hmm.
And then F is forgive, and that's the hardest part. You have to forgive your offender and then forgive yourself, because grudges will just corrode your soul.
That's true.
And it's the only way to find peace.
Yeah.
And so a couple of tools that are helpful for that forgiveness thing that I found is what I call the dead dog technique.
Okay, barf and the dead dog technique.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think to myself, you know what? I bet she's acting like this because her doggy died.
Yes, I do the dead dog technique too. I just didn't call it that. But you know what? This works so well when you can say, you know what? I bet you there's something going on that I am not aware of that explains why she or he is behaving this way.
Exactly, and it softens your heart.
Yes,
and
it does.
And it really works. It makes you see them through God's eyes a little bit more, which is what your goal is. To not see them through your eyes, but to see them through his eyes. And he loves them, even though you don't at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And another one that works, a friend shared with me, that what she does is she tries to picture them as a sweet little baby. And, you know, how could you be so angry at that sweet little baby? So, you know, it really does help. And then you're able to get over it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do when you're in the middle of the thing. But the way this particular thing ended was really good. I was able to take a few more deep breaths and turn it over to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I started dragging the table up. I thought, well, I've got to do something here. So I dragged the table up, started to put my stuff on it, and the other people jumped in and helped, and including the coordinator, who actually turned out to be a very nice person. And I was extremely glad I hadn't melted her earrings.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, okay, I think we can remember the BARF acronym. That was pretty good. And then the dead dog technique, which that is brilliant as well. And I like your idea, too, of really remembering who your enemy is, because it isn't the person. It's the devil with his schemes that he, you know, causes people to bite on his schemes. So he's the real enemy, and I like keeping him in, well, keeping in mind who the enemy is. You also mentioned something when we're still talking about inner beauty here, about taking a spiritual retreat. Explain what you mean by that and how this helps.
Well, that also helps. Someone asked me how you forgive yourself, and a spiritual retreat is one of the best ways to do that. I call them he and me retreats. And, of course, not everyone can get away for 4 to 5 days, but that's what I think is the best. If you can somehow get away by yourself for an extended period of time, at minimum of 3 days, and I know sometimes you can just reduce this to like 3 hours if an afternoon is all you can possibly manage, then do it. Do an afternoon. But what I did, and I detail it in my He and Me retreat in the book. I talk about all the different things you can do, studying scriptures, meditating on things, getting out, just getting out into nature and enjoying God's creation, because that is so replenishing. And it actually, then you have FaceTime with the Lord, and that's what we need. We look at our kids, you know, we try to give them FaceTime every day, and our husbands and our friends, and that's what we need with our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than life itself. And He enjoys the FaceTime with us, and He then is able to really give us what we need to rejuvenate.
Yeah.
And so I love that. I think it's very important that we try to do this. I do one a year, if I can do two, but in fact, mine's coming up. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, I do know so many women who have been helped by just, even if you can't get away for a retreat, but just spending some quiet time where you're just asking God, maybe just one simple question, like, Lord, show me how you see me. And it's amazing how they will see maybe themselves dressed in a beautiful, white, pristine wedding gown or whatever. And it's just like, oh, that's how God sees you. That can change everything as you again get your identity from God. Do you have a few more minutes you could stick with us, Deborah?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about a couple of remaining things. One of them is raising our self-esteem. And I kind of hate that word self-esteem because it's taken on a kind of a weird flavor in today's culture. But that self-image, you know, having a healthy self-image, if you will. So we'll tackle that in just a moment with Deborah Cody. Her book is More Beauty, Less Beast.
The Debbie Chavez Show, your source for biblical wisdom from the country's top pastors, counselors, and authors, and your home for inspiring true stories displaying Christ's redeeming power.
As a wife, are you starting to feel like your husband is more of a roommate than your best friend? Or are you struggling with how to deal with disrespectful or immoral behavior within your marriage? Whether you're experiencing resentment towards your husband or just want to obtain a greater level of intimacy with your man, you'll want to get your own copy of Debbie Chavez's brand new book called Above and Beyond What You Thought Was Possible for Your Marriage. Inside Above and Beyond, Debbie searches the Bible to provide you with dozens of overlooked nuggets of wisdom that will give you a brilliant roadmap to a fulfilling marriage. Whether you're looking for biblical help in dealing with bad behavior within your marriage, or whether you're searching for a way to get your husband to open up his heart to you, you'll find the answers in Above and Beyond. Order your own copy today at DebbieChavez.com.
On the program with Deborah Cody, her book More Beauty, Less Beast. And let's talk about raising our self-esteem or self-image or whatever you want to call it. And you have a short little story in the book that was really one of those moments for you, that aha moment where you were hiking in the mountains and had an encounter with a flower. Can you tell us a little bit about this story?
Yes, I was actually on my He and Me retreat when this happened, and I had been just down, and I had been feeling lately that I was so not measuring up to other people, and I kept comparing myself to all those perfect people in my life, and I was just feeling very low about myself. and you know, pretty much like a failure. And because of that, I did what a lot of women do. I just turned off the faucet of my feelings. Mm. And, you know, we do that sometimes. We're afraid of them. We don't want to do that. We're too busy to try to feel, so we just don't feel. And we end up being numb. And it's better, we think, than to be disappointed in ourselves or to feel worthless. And so I was up there walking on this trail above. We have a little cabin up in the Smokies, and I love it up there. It's so peaceful, and it's very remote. So I was up there hiking, and way up there, and it was just spring. I'm an early riser, so this was like right after dawn. And as I was going, you know, everything was kind of the same earthy colors, browns and tans and greens. And all of a sudden, this amazing shock of color caught my eye, and it was this lily growing up there all by itself, this big orange and gold lily with freckles and these beautiful little petals that was perfect. And it was way tall. It was like almost up to my waist at least. And there it was all by itself.
Huh.
And I'm thinking, how in the world did that lily bulb get up here?
Yeah.
And so I walked over to it, and I actually talked to it. And I said, oh, you're so beautiful. And its little head, it was early, so the little head of the thing was curved down like it had its, like it was looking at the ground.
Mm.
And, you know, I tried to lift it upright, but it was pretty much bent in that direction. And I said, you know, you should hold your head up, honey. You have so much to share.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, the words became not mine, but they turned around and came from the Lord.
Yes.
And I felt all of a sudden, it was like the floodgates opened.
Mm.
And I could feel and I could hear his voice say the exact same words to me.
Mm.
You're so beautiful. You should hold your head up.
Ooh.
You have so much to share.
Ooh.
And I just stayed there bawling my eyes out with this lily up in the woods for the next, like, 2 hours. And as the sun rose, the lily's head straightened up, and she started following the sun across the sky.
Wow.
And I realized that that's exactly what I need to do.
Yeah.
If I can keep my face turned to the sun, S-O-N,
mm-hmm.
like she has hers to the S-U-N,
mm-hmm.
then he is my light and my life in the darkest places, and that will help me raise my head.
Yes.
And there's even a scripture that says that, you know, you're, Lord, you're the lifter of my head.
That's right. Oh, sometimes God speaks to us in the simplest ways, but they're the most profound, and that was, I'm glad you had time to share that little story with us. A couple more thoughts before we're plumb out of time here. You also talk about finding beauty in rest. And so many moms, especially, run themselves ragged and don't get any rest. And then, you know, they don't even look beautiful on the outside because they're so worn out. But they don't give themselves permission to rest. Are you going to give us permission to rest?
Oh, yeah, honey. Absolutely. Hey, I'm the nap queen. I'm biggie a proponent of napping. And when mommy don't get her nappy, ain't nobody happy in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a big one on really there's different areas you've got to look at, the physical, the mental, as well as the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's different things you can do for each to try to insert a little time of rest in the day. One of the things I did when my kids were young was I had a mommy timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that from my mother, who used to take her Bible into the bathtub with her. And I remember I must have been 4 or 5 years old banging on the door, Jenny, hit me! And she would be saying, go away, this is my God time, go away. And, you know, I would do a similar thing with my kids. I would set the timer, the kitchen timer, for 15 minutes, set it right outside the door, and go into my walk-in closet. And snuggle up underneath the clothes with the shoes. And I didn't always read my Bible, but I would usually pray, and I would do a little refreshment time for me for 15 minutes.
Mm.
And when the kids' fingers started peeking up under the door, I would say, this is mommy's time out. I will be out when the dinger dings. So you just amuse yourself. And, you know, that's the one thing that I think is very important. I view us as women as what I call BOOP, the boiling oatmeal overflow phenomena.
Oh.
And that's where we're like little pots of oatmeal.
Mm.
In the beginning of the day, we just simmer.
Mm.
Little manageable bubbles of stress just pop, no problems. But as the day progresses,
yeah,
and the heat escalates, Our oatmeal boils higher and wilder and meaner until it overflows and spoils everything around it with this sticky, gooey mess.
So, and we're plumb out of time here, but the end of the story then is we need to have some rest so that we can keep things manageable. And I'm glad that you gave us permission, and I think we are going to take you up on that idea, many of us, about this like mommy timeout or grandma timeout or whatever, or even a husband timeout. We need to allow ourselves to have timeouts to rest and be with God, and we're giving you permission to do that. Thank you so much for joining us today, Deborah.
Thank you. Take that pot off the burner, girl.
Thank you for, wow, that was a wonderful discussion with her. I love it. What a great sense of humor, too. If you'd like to get a copy of this book, we have some available, and we can make them available to my friends on Facebook. You can just go ahead and send an email to pam@debbychavez.com. Again, that's pam@debbychavez.com, and ask for the book More Beauty, Less Beast, and we'll see if we can get a free copy to you as supplies last. Coming up next on the Carolyn Merriman Show, why it is okay to be a weak Christian. And until we meet again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him.